This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is AmTower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. Every week, author, speaker, consultant Mark AmTower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. AmTower Off-Center with your host, Mark AmTower.
Welcome to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guest today is a longtime friend, actually one of my early guests, but he hadn't been back way too long, Jeff Livingston. Jeff, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah. Jeff is the president and founder of Tenacity 5 Media. He's a blogger on Huffington Post, and he's got several good books out. I'm jealous because I love the titles. Now Is Gone, Marketing in the Round, and Welcome to the Fifth Estate. And a novel, Exodus.
Right.
But that's got nothing to do with social media. Well, I don't know if it does or not, actually.
Not really.
So, okay. Again, thanks for coming in. Today we're going to do all things social. Jeff is a deep dive on all of the platforms that I don't use. So we're going to take a look around the social media ecosphere, and let's just start there, Jeff. What the hell's going on out there?
Well, a lot of things have happened, particularly with advertising really starting to take over as a primary form of promotion for businesses and organizations. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing that Facebook, for example, is highly revenue-driven. Twitter is becoming a big native advertising platform, particularly for mobile. And then, of course, Pinterest and now Instagram for business. And LinkedIn, of course, has become a very heavy advertising platform. So we're really starting to see advertising become the reason d'etre for businesses within social networks.
Okay. And you have we're playing with Jeff's computer and you can't see it, haha. So explain the 2012 to 2014 social media update from Pew.
Yes. So Pew, I like Pew's research statistics. Everybody puts out statistics today on social media and social networks and which ones are most popular. But I feel like Pew is usually very grounded and they seem to understand media pretty well. So what we're seeing is that Facebook is still the king of all social networks. Much to my chagrin, I think I've predicted Facebook's death three times and I'm wrong every time.
I tried, yeah.
I know, we're all trying, but it's not happening. LinkedIn is a surprising number two, and it's neck and neck with Pinterest for that spot. And Instagram is number four. And, of course, that's owned by Facebook, but Instagram is very, very hot. And Twitter is fifth, according to Pew's 2014 data points. So what we're seeing really with that particular graphic, and if you dive into the report, Pew theorizes that Facebook is basically the entry point for social media. Everybody's on it. Everybody uses it for some purpose, even if it's just to check in on their family and their friends. But then they're moving off of Facebook to engage in very specific uses. So, for example, if you're on LinkedIn, you're there for business. If you're on Pinterest, you're probably saving things or engaging with some of your friends for like maybe recipes, or you're collecting your Hot Wheels pictures for your collection, which I don't know, there might be a Peter Pan thing going on with that, but you know, whatever it might be, you're using Pinterest to collect information and share it with close groups of friends. Instagram is when you're out there with your buddies and you're doing selfies. For example, I was at the NBA event a couple weeks ago and I was taking selfies with Carlos Boozer because I just had to hot dog it. And, yeah, and then Twitter has really become just a news sharing place, and Twitter is really the odd man out right now.
Okay, well let's look at a couple of these. We're going to look at LinkedIn last because we'll probably take a deep dive there. Facebook, I am on Facebook, but the only reason I joined Facebook is my son, who was 13 or 12 at the time, was there. He hasn't used it in a couple of years. I mean, the only time he tells me he goes is when he's getting, you know, his five or six nerd friends together for the magic card game or whatever the card game is of that week. But, you know, my daughter's 21. She's never been on any social media.
Wow.
Zero.
Lucky gal.
Probably the only female in the universe that's never been on one.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting because Facebook has really become, I think it's really kind of fake book, really, in a lot of ways, in the sense that we have our family and friends are there. We just put forth our best image, but we're not really engaging in deep, meaningful interactions the way we used to on Facebook. And so we're always afraid of what our employer is going to see. We're always afraid of what our parents are going to see or our children are going to see. We're not going to drop that really sincere editorial snark that we might if we were on Reddit or some other place like that. And so I think Facebook's really become a vanity social network in a lot of ways. That being said, it is still the most popular place to be. And so whenever people want to talk about things like the Super Bowl or last weekend's Oscars or whatever it might be, they're out there and they're doing it on Facebook.
What about Facebook as a B2B play? Facebook for business. Is it a viable tool for business? And is it a B2C kind of gig or a B2B?
Yeah, I think it can be viable for B2B, but there are a few factors that weigh into that. The first thing is that if you have a legacy business page that actually has an engaged following, it's probably still a good place. So, for example, a company like Vistaprint, which has a really significant Facebook page, does well there, and that's because they're engaging and they're still engaging, and they're also paying for ads. But if you're not paying for ads, it's really a hard place to succeed. And that's particularly true for B2B companies. I tell people that are really building their initial or their secondary social media push to move off of Facebook and to focus on LinkedIn if they're a B2B organization. It's just a much better place to be, and it's much more natural with the tools that are available there.
Okay. I want to stop you there a second because I did something wrong at the beginning of the show. Tell people what you and Tenacity do.
Yeah, Tenacity does, my company, Tenacity 5 Media, what we really do is we build social media and content strategies for people to drive inbound traffic to their site and engage customers. We also do some branding and PR work on that front, but it's really about driving inbound customer engagement.
Yeah, and one of the reasons that Jeff and I hooked up again, I mean, we communicate via rumor and innuendo on a regular basis. I hear him hear of him speaking at a variety of events, but we share a rather large client, unnamed at this time, but you know, certainly a Fortune 100, probably a Fortune 50 firm, and the CMO there said, you know, you guys haven't talked for a while. You got to get together because you're both advising me on
this project,
social
yeah.
stuff. So.
This project, which you'll all see in about 3 or 4 months.
There you go. Yes. especially people listening to this show.
Absolutely. Federal News Radio. That's where it's at. Man.
So Tenacity 5, you've been advising people on social for probably the last, 8 or 9 years now.
Yeah, better part of a decade.
Yeah. Yeah. So, And again, you know, if you want advice on LinkedIn, don't go to Jeff, come to me. Or you can actually go to both. But if you want advice on all social media, Jeff, that's why Jeff's here. He's a deep dive guy for all that stuff that I don't use. So
yeah, no, and I would definitely say that, you know, in the case of businesses and particularly with the people that are listening to this audience, I would say, I mean, if you're a federal communicator and you're really dealing with the public a lot, Facebook's probably still a place that you need to be on, but unfortunately you have to justify native advertising spend.
Yeah.
Unless you're NASA and everybody's all over your stuff already.
Well, yeah, and you know, they're the kings of Twitter too.
Right. They're great. I mean, they really get digital media. Every time people say, what's a good organization in the federal marketplace that really gets social media and online media, I tell them NASA, because whether it's their own content, their video content, whatever they're posting, their photographs, they understand how to tweak the blogs, get them going, and get all these guys like at Gawker writing about them. NASA really hits a home run almost every month on social media.
Well, when it comes to the visual aspect of social, which is huge,
right?
They own it.
Doesn't get any better than that. Hey,
no.
Let us show you a new planet.
or a view of your house from the other side of the moon.
Yeah, right. Did you see that? They were showing the dark side of the moon pictures?
Yeah.
That was last month's home run.
Man.
I can't wait to see what they do in March.
Well, yeah. For, go back to the beginning. You know, let's follow Santa Claus on NASA.gov.
They're just
Hello.
So smart.
You know?
Or that White House memo about why they won't build a Death Star. Come on, man.
Yeah, so cool. We're going to take our first break. My guest today is Jeff Livingston. Jeff is the president and founder of Tenacity 5 Media. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM back after this. Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Jeff Livingston, who, if you want good overviews, I said I was, I'm very jealous of the book titles. Now Is Gone was his first. And when you're talking about social, that says it all. Now Is Gone.
Yeah.
So we've already moved past. Welcome to the Fifth Estate is probably one of the best overviews of what's going on out here in the social ecosphere, if you will. Yes?
I would say that's my best book.
Okay. Well, there you go.
So,
Facebook. We were looking at Facebook on your lap before the show, and I said, let's go take a look. And first thing that pops up is this message from Zuckerberg thanking you for advertising.
Yeah,
hello.
Sheryl Sandberg and Mark Zuckerberg. Thanks so much. There are 2 million people like you that are paying for ads. And frankly, the only reason I pay for ads is if I want my business content to be seen from my business page. I need to pay for it. And, I'm not talking a lot of money. It might be $50 or $100 to boost the post and get it really out there and get it across the country and seen by thousands of people. But, anybody that's been around in social for a while knows that Facebook built its back on its pages with nonprofits and businesses driving people into Facebook all the time. It was like AOL back in the late 90s and 2000s. And for them to suddenly throttle the algorithm and stop people from seeing those pages and then demand fees for it. Well, yes, it is a business. And yes, it is a publicly traded company that has to show revenue. So it is the right to charge ads. But wow, talk about a flipping of the coin and destroying trust. They've done it. There are a lot of business owners that are not happy with them.
I'd have to say so. But, again, that I put up pages for my business there, but I never go.
Right.
So because I don't believe my audience is there. The same people in the federal market may be on Facebook for different reasons.
Right.
So,
they care about The Walking Dead on Sunday night.
Right. Yeah. And when they go to LinkedIn, they're not looking for Walking Dead stuff.
No, they'd be horrified. So, yes.
And we talked about this before. Jeff and I are both voracious readers and students of not just social media, but of marketing in general. And Al Reese and Jack Trout wrote a classic back in the late 70s, early 80s, Positioning the Battle for Your Mind. And all of this is a positioning thing. And when a niche is occupied by three mooses, you create a sub-niche.
Right.
So where do these other networks land in the sub-niche category? Start with Pinterest, if you would.
Yeah, I think Pinterest is really a consumer-oriented social network. There are people that succeed with it for B2B, but generally speaking, it's predominantly consumer. It's about consumer goods, everything from Etsy and clothes all the way through to, I made a joke about Hot Wheels, but I've seen like Hall of Fame boards for baseball and things like that. To me, it's really a nice place if you're a consumer product company to get the word out.
Okay. What about, Instagram is listed separately in the Pew study.
Right.
But it was purchased by
Facebook.
Can we call it the evil empire?
Yeah, we could call it, Zuck's empire. Darth Zuck, right? Emperor Zuckerberg. So Instagram, to me, is really a mobile network. If you look at it on your desktop, it's terrible. It's a terrible user experience. So all these page views are definitely happening on people's phones and on their tablets. To me, it's really about the user experience on the fly. This is my live stream. This is what I'm doing. We see it's becoming a rival to Twitter for places where people break news. Do you remember when LeBron James last summer announced that he was going back to Cleveland? He did that in two places, Sports Illustrated with his letter, and then on Instagram.
Not Twitter. Okay. Wonder if it was a paid endorsement for him to do it on Instagram, Twitter.
I feel like what we're seeing, too, is a lot of these celebrities are moving over to Instagram. And we're starting to see scandals happen on Instagram, just like we used to on Twitter. So to me, it's kind of replacing it. And if you think about the evolution of media, that makes sense because Twitter is really text-based, or traditionally it has been, even though they're trying to change that.
They're definitely trying to morph.
Yeah, they're definitely trying to morph. And that's because Instagram is the exact same thing as Twitter, with the exception of no word counts and you have to have a photo. So
it's word counts. Maybe I should open an Instagram account, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, I've seen some really long posts on Instagram, Mark. So you might do well there.
Well, there you go. Well, you know, obviously they're significant because they're one spot ahead of Twitter on the thing. So talk to me about the morphing o Twitter.
Yeah. Twitter is really trying to become a video and a photo network. I think they've really tried very hard on the video side with Vine and their 6-second videos, which have taken off with, I would say, younger demographics, Generation Z, a little bit of
short
the
attention span theaters.
Right.
6 seconds here.
6 seconds. But if you think about a mobile phone experience, I mean, we've all had that horrible load time where we've tried to download a video on our smartphones and it's only like a minute, but we can't watch it. 6 seconds is pretty easy to do on today's 4G networks. Okay. So I think it's engineered for that more than anything else. But that being said, it's not helping attention spans. Twitter, I think Twitter's really got an identity crisis. They, unlike Facebook, have not gotten into the acquisition game, even though they're well capitalized. And as a result of that, I think Facebook understands that it probably won't be Facebook in 20 years, just like AOL is not what it used to be.
Is AOL still there?
AOL is still there, and it's a very powerful holding company. And they own a lot of top online media properties, but they allow them to be the Huffington Post, or they allow them to be TechCrunch instead of AOL.
Okay.
And I think that's kind of Facebook's strategy. Twitter is kind of languishing, and either they're going to make some breakthrough where they revolutionize themselves, like LinkedIn did, or they're going to start dying on the vine, and pun intended.
Yeah. So I guess this is a loaded question, but where do you spend? Do you spend the majority of your time on any one platform?
Personal or business?
Business. Let's go business first.
Business, we're using Twitter and LinkedIn.
Okay. So number two and number five, according to Pew.
Right.
So... So what do you do on Twitter for your audience? What do you share?
We're sharing content like good articles, good research. We're engaging with people. To me, Twitter is a good news breaking medium still. And so we're really trying to play in that venue. And that kind of makes sense if you consider that we're focused on content and media. And then LinkedIn, we're trying to share very pragmatic B2B advice. I mean, I think when I consider what we do on LinkedIn, we're just trying to offer good content that's going to help professionals.
But you were expounding the virtues of Instagram. Do you use it and how?
I use it personally, and I have a little bit of a photography hobby. It helps me understand. A
little bit of a photography?
Visual media. Yeah. But I use Instagram and Flickr and another site called 500 Pixels for that.
Okay.
Yeah. And actually, it's funny because I've done better on the other visual networks than I have Instagram. I don't think I post enough selfies.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that important on Instagram, the selfies?
I think Instagram's really become a live stream type of network. So for engagement purposes, either you have a huge following or you're posting like real in the life interesting things, like what's happening to you. So I'm not really too forthcoming about that after 10 years on social media.
Okay.
So...
Understood.
Yeah.
So let's migrate over to the Tenacity 5 is number one. Well, you blog on Huffington, which is going to drive some traffic.
Yep, it's good.
And your audience isn't exclusively B2B. You do a lot of nonprofit.
Yep.
So from there, though, your big push for Tenacity is going to be through Twitter and LinkedIn.
Right.
Let's start talking about Tenacity on LinkedIn then. You and I share an 11-plus year membership on LinkedIn.
That's right.
So we are LinkedIn pioneers. You were probably more of an adopter more or an adapter more early than me, because I really didn't start using it until around 2007.
Right.
So walk me through your LinkedIn story.
So with LinkedIn, I got in there very early towards the end of that .com era. Remember when after the bubble had burst, but we were still dealing with a lot of companies, and that's when LinkedIn came into play. And, you know, I'm going to be brutally honest about it. Until they made their interface changes about a year and a half ago, I wasn't very interested in it. I didn't really enjoy the experience. And I was using Facebook more, but as it became much more of a dialogue place, a place where you could have conversations, I know you can always do that in the groups, but with the articles, with Pulse, and the new interface where you see all these nice updates with visuals, I started to engage more. And so I kind of watched after they launched Pulse, which is their content sharing platform. And I decided after a little while that I would start experimenting and start posting things, and not posting from my blog on there as a link, but literally taking some posts and sharing them on LinkedIn. And what I have found is that there are certain types of posts that do really well out there, and there are other types of posts that seem to fail.
Okay, well, let's talk about those posts after the break. You're listening to AM Tower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. My guest today is Jeff Livingston. We will be discussing Pulse and other aspects of the evolution of LinkedIn on the other side of the break. Welcome back to AM Tower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Jeff Livingston. Jeff's the president of Tenacity 5 Media. You can find him, is it just tenacity5.com or tenacity5media.com?
It's tenacity5.com.
Tenacity5.com, the number 5, don't spell it out.
Right.
So, yeah, so a year ago this March, so for 11-plus months now, Pulse has been available.
Right.
And initially, only a few LinkedIn members, and I don't know how to define a few,
right,
were invited to...
Influencers, right?
Yeah. Well, we're a tier under influencers if we've been writing since last March.
Right.
So you may be an influencer. I'm not. I'm not.
I don't buy that
yet.
For a minute.
Yeah. well, according to LinkedIn, but I, you know, like you, I've been posting. I'm curious to hear you. But when I started writing on LinkedIn, and basically Pulse is a blogging platform,
right?
I found something really interesting. Regardless of what I put on my own blog and LinkedIn and publicized in the same way, I was getting 3x more traffic on Pulse.
Same thing for me. And I actually stayed off of it for a while because I had an old school blogger attitude about it. Like, I'm not going to post.
Well, you're recognized by right. The Post and others as one of the top bloggers in D.C.
Right. But... one thing I've definitely learned over the years is that you can't be too cocky about position in digital media because it moves so quickly. So I kept hearing about Pulse and how powerful it was, and people like you saying, hey, I'm getting 3 times as much traffic. So finally I said to myself, I'm going to experiment. And the first post I put out there was this piece that I put up on my blog, which had been really popular, 7 signs of the post-social media era, which is really discussing moving into wearable and contextual media.
How many views is that?
I got about 2,000 views, which yeah. was roughly what I got on the website. So it was a match. Now, when I put it on LinkedIn as just a link, I didn't get anything. And so right away, I'm like, oh, wow. And I got a lot of good feedback from that article. And actually, somebody...
And probably 2,000 new people viewing.
What I found, too, was the quality of the audience was better, particularly for business, because they were people that I really wanted to talk to, CMOs, directors of marketing, VPs of marketing, those types of people. And so I said to myself, well, I think maybe I should pay a little more attention to this. And what I have found is that when I post hard-hitting articles that are a little bit different than the average, like, hey, 5 ways to use Twitter, real issues that I think people are thinking about in the workplace, like how do I balance a personal brand versus like my company brand? And I definitely vie for the company over the person.
Leave that screen right there. You have a knack for this, and it's probably with your journalistic background, but what most people don't understand is it's the title of the article that draws attention. So RFP, request for pain. Right. How cool is that?
I mean, who here in this marketplace hasn't done an RFP and wanted to cry afterwards?
Yeah. No right? one wants to be the first loser. Being an influencer is not a top priority. These are great titles.
Yeah. No one knows who you are. Did really well. And notice which one didn't do well out of this group. Stumbling into the wearable media era, which is, I think, a very common article.
It's a good title. It's not a great title.
Right. And I think it's also an article that people probably see a lot of right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like if you can write interesting content, this platform, the way the algorithm works, can really set off your organization, particularly if it's a B2B or a B2G organization.
Yeah. Now, I have found that on my blog, I can go 500 to 800 words. On LinkedIn, I keep it under 500.
Right. So what I did a lot of research on this, and what I've seen is that there are very few articles that do well that are long form. Let's call that above 1,000 words. Mm-hmm. And then after that, anything from like 250 to 1,000, which I would call standard blogging length. No more than three sections, really. You know, 3-5 paragraph sections. That seems to be the norm, and that seems to be what trends impulse. So you seem to fit in the shorter end of that category, but that's mm-hmm. about a good 25 to 30% of the articles that trend are about 250 to 500 words.
Yeah. Actually, probably my most popular, because it got about 2,400 views, was about 800 or 900 words. So it was on the longer side for me,
but
not under 1,000. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I would say if you're posting for more than 1,000 words, this is the wrong medium.
Yeah.
But there's another LinkedIn medium, which is really good for that, which is SlideShare.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about SlideShare a minute. But, you know, first, you know, are some of these your own photos that you're putting up here?
Almost every single photo in here is my own photo.
Yeah. So the other aspect of this, if you do not select a photo for your pulse, LinkedIn will put some generic thing up there. And it's much better if you select your own.
Right.
Even if it's, you know, a JPEG share file somewhere.
And we've kind of touched on this throughout the show already. But if you're not creating a visual piece with your content from the get-go, you're probably going to bolt something on and it's probably not going to tell your story well. Mm-hmm. You have to be thinking about that visual piece, even if it's a simple PowerPoint chart from the beginning.
Right. And, you know, a simple PowerPoint chart, if it ties in with what you're talking about here, can be cool. So, you know, I wrote once about the growth of LinkedIn. Just use the LinkedIn growth graph.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. And
it conveyed the point.
It does definitely convey the point.
Right.
So, and you don't want them doing that for you. So let's talk about the SlideShare. I do not use it much, and it is a shortcoming on my side.
Right. Well, we just won an award for a book we did for a local company called Cision, which is a PR software company. And we got an influencer named Brian Solis to write it. And we got Gaping Void, which is a cartoonist, to illustrate it.
Mm-hmm. So Dave?
Hugh McLeod.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Gaping Void. They're kind of cool. Yeah. So anyway, it was a B2B play. It was a tech play. It was about 40 pages long. And we posted it. We posted it on SlideShare, and the thing got about 400,000 views.
Whoa, dude.
And it drove 1,000 original leads, and now it's up for all these awards. And the reason why that was the right place was because the way SlideShare works, it allows you to put on long content, but it allows you to slap a visual in there and allows you to move from slide to slide to slide like a traditional PowerPoint pretty easily on your screen. That makes it a better reading experience. So if we only keep like two paragraphs of text on each page, that works well for the longer pieces.
Okay. Now, on your profile, where would the SlideShare go? I have a couple. Been there. They're buried like in experiential portions. So I'll walk somebody through selling to the government or government marketing best practices.
Right.
Something like that.
It's usually under the summary section, your own content. I think in that particular case, because it was for a client, I published that as a project.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for Tenacity, what kind of are you generating leads from your LinkedIn activity?
I don't know yet, but I would say that what we are seeing is that the leads that we have are interacting with us on there. Mm-hmm. So to me, it seems to be less of a initiation mechanism and much more of a nurturing mechanism.
Okay. It's also a vetting mechanism.
Yeah.
All of the research I've seen from Hinge Marketing, Lee Fredrickson-Shop, Lisa DeZutti out of Market Connections, when people are vetting, especially B2B companies, consultants, or potential partners, they go to the website and they go to LinkedIn. If you go to Google, Google's going to drive you either to the website or LinkedIn. So if you Google Amtower, my LinkedIn profile comes up first.
Yep, that makes sense.
And that's exactly what I want, because it is the most robust information about me anywhere.
Yeah, I find that exactly that's a great place for people to go and do a little bit of a slobber check on you and make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing and that they feel comfortable with you. Because consider my business, for example. I mean, I don't know how many social media experts I've seen blow up on Twitter or like getting busted on Friday night, drooling on themselves. And then you look at their LinkedIn page and there's no real work there. It's a really quick, good slobber check.
Yeah, it's a cobbler's children syndrome. But, you know, when I do a lot of speaking on LinkedIn, there's a lot of people out there that do. But when I go to their profile, see other speakers on, you know, I won't name names, but they suck.
Right.
The profiles are just lousy.
Oh, by the way, I exaggerated on that Brian Solis thing. We had 290,000 views.
Oh, only 300,000 views. You're so sorry.
Excuse me.
Yeah, terrible. But,
I don't want that Brian Williams treatment.
There you go. On that, we'll take a break. My guest today is Jeff Livingston of Tenacity 5 Media. You can find him at tenacity5.com. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm back after this. Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Jeff Livingston. Jeff is the president of Tenacity 5 Media. Tenacity 5, the number 5.com is how you can find him. I suggest you find him on LinkedIn as well and look for his stuff on Huffington Post. Jeff is an incredible writer and a deep thinker on all things social. And I want to wrap this up by talking, maybe a little more broadly. There's been a huge, huge push about personal branding over the last few years, maybe a little longer. And, you and I both have brands. There's no, getting around the fact.
I didn't do it.
yeah, but there's if you're a subject matter expert and you're bringing value to a market, that's different than just standing up going, "Hey, look at me."
Right. I think one of my favorite Super Bowl ads was that Kim Kardashian ad with T-Mobile, where she was making fun of the fact that she's basically just an internet personality, and she's just known for being Kim and taking photos of herself and her body.
I'm still wondering who the hell she is, but that's beside the point.
I don't know what she's done, but she's really the epitome of a personal brand, if you think about it. And I think that the real danger is for younger professionals to think that becoming famous online is going to translate to business value. And to some extent, to a very small extent, there is, so long as they don't blow up and ruin their reputations at some point or stop whatever it is that makes people want to like them. But outside of that, you're not looking at much, and you're probably just looking at getting a lot of free Doritos.
Yeah. I coach a lot of people on developing a subject matter expert platform, and it all starts to go back to Trout and Reese. Define your position in a market. What intellectual real estate do you actually own? And then validating that ownership by sharing good stuff.
Right. And when you think about the classic pundit, It's somebody that's a subject matter expert that gets called on to a TV show, a radio show, or is interviewed because they possess domain expertise in that particular area, and that's it. So when James Carville is on TV, it's because he's a political expert and he's helped the president win an election. That's it, right? There's
yeah.
no other reason to have the Raging Cajun on.
No. None, you know, you're not going to ask him where he dined last week. Nobody right. cares.
And I think, like, he's kind of a funny guy because he tried to become that kind of personality where he was just liked for everything. He was on sports radio for a little period, and you don't see him anymore.
We may see him with the various political fights shaping up on both sides, and it'll be vastly amusing to watch. But
right. So I think, though, that, again, that falls back to his domain expertise. And so when I consider a personal brand, and particularly a company engaging with personal brands, the real value for a company is not necessarily the personal brand, but their domain expertise and their ability to move things for them. And so when I talk to corporations about hiring people that are individuals, including myself, I'm very clear that I'm not going to push you as much as I'm going to have you push yourself and develop your own reputation. And when you hire personalities to be your spokespeople, you need to have 2, 3, or 4 of them so that you can always survive a personal brand departure. There was a large automobile company that had a very well-known personal brand, and he left. And I think they were able to survive it because they slowly migrated them off the accounts and then just became themselves.
It was like Scoble and Microsoft.
And Scoble is the classic example. When Scoble left Microsoft, their social died.
Yeah. I hadn't really thought about that, but you're right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and he wasn't afraid to say the emperor didn't have clothes.
So. Right.
And that's what made his brand.
And God bless Scoble. He's a great guy. I know him personally. So it's nothing about them, but it's about the strategy and the mistake of over-relying on that.
Yeah. But you know, get back to, you know, especially the companies. So picking the right media, social media, to get the message out, in a sense, the media becomes the message because your audience is there. Where do you... I guess, you know, there's no one size fits all,
right?
Number one.
I think, like, you always have to have one place where you're going to publish content. And I think that you always have to bring it back to your website, right? Because we all know that this stuff changes so quickly. We just talked about how LinkedIn was a non-entity for content publishing a year ago. Literally a calendar year ago, they were nothing. Now they're everything when it comes to B2B. So if you're not driving back to your website at some point, you're going to be in trouble. Always have a copy of the content you're building somewhere on your website. That being said, you really have to be in touch with your demographic and your stakeholders and understand where they're consuming content. You and I have talked a lot about federal audiences. We know that they're on LinkedIn. We know they're on Facebook too. But what are they doing on Facebook? And do they want to receive information that's related to work on Facebook?
Probably not. Yeah.
You know, so if you understand who your stakeholders are, where they're getting that information, then you're going to deliver it to them in that place to be in that moment. And you have to stay in touch with these people. I don't know how else to say it.
Well, I mean, you just said it again, in that moment, because, you know, like the title of the first book, Now It's Gone. If you do not hit them when it is germane to a particular instance, you're toast.
Right. And in 5 years, I mean, we're on a radio show right now, and podcasts are really starting to take off again. And if you consider where we're going with media and wearable media, okay, you're not going to want to read a blog post on your watch, or you're not going to want to read a blog post in your car or wherever you might be.
I damn well need new glasses for that watch.
But you might want to get a downloadable piece of information that you can listen to because it's safer. And as a result of that, it might be that you need to deliver audio content as opposed to written content.
It's funny. I got an email yesterday from a company I'd never heard of offering to turn all of my web content into audio. So it's like, I guess they have a reader there, kind of like a reverse Nuance.
I would say out of all the people I know in the space, because you do have this show, you're probably more well-positioned for the next 10 years than anybody else I know.
That's the truth.
Well, yeah, and the fact that they archive the shows for, you know, 12 to 24 months, that's not half bad. So all the content, your content's going to be out there too.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go. So give me some final thoughts here. What do people need to think about when they, what do businesses need to think about when they think social?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we haven't touched on, which might be really interesting to discuss, is security. Because everybody's getting hacked now. I mean, I think we saw that the Pentagon got hacked when Obama had the speech on information security with banks. And that's happening more and more frequently. So I think you have to be really smart about how you're keeping passwords and how frequently you're changing them and who has access to them. And I also think you have to be smart about which networks you're using. So if you're at Starbucks, you're using public Wi-Fi, maybe not so smart. Probably a better idea to use the network that's available to you on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And using at least the CDMA network to protect you a little bit.
Okay. Now, we don't hear about it often, but I did hear, you know, a while back that, you know, Facebook certainly got hacked.
It's really easy to hack a social media account. That's the thing. It's not like having your core network hacked. But that doesn't make it look any better when NASA suddenly having pictures of SpongeBob mooning everybody from the moon. That's not good, right?
No.
So I think having policies in place to quickly address that is really important, particularly if you're a business. And the other thing, too, is to be ready to own it and apologize really quickly. I think it's becoming so common that people accept it now. You have to say, hey, we got hacked. We're addressing it immediately. We apologize to anybody that's been offended, and then just move on.
Yeah, and it's the, you know, the Johnson & Johnson story. What was it, the Tylenol thing? They were the first major company to just, you know, do the total recall of a product because somebody in one of their factories was doing not nice stuff.
Right. There was one with Crayon, actually, Crayola, got hacked. And so people were putting lewd pornographic images up on their Facebook page. Now, as a parent of a four-year-old, I wasn't too pleased to see that.
No.
And, you know, they were really quick to put out a public statement, put it out on Twitter. Hey, we've been hacked. We're addressing it. And they apologized for being offended. It went away within like 5 hours.
There you go. Own it quick. Jeff, man, thanks for coming in. This has been a blast.
Thank you, Mark. It's always good to see you. Keep rocking.
And it won't be 7 years before we do this again. You got another book coming out?
Not this year, I don't think.
Okay, well, I'm pushing you for that one that we talked about. So there you go. Again, this has been Jeff Livingston has been my guest. Tenacity 5 Media, Tenacity the number 5.com. This is not my day job. If you need help developing that subject matter expert platform or leveraging LinkedIn, give me a shout, mark@federaldirect.net. And thank you very much for listening to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
You've been listening to AmTower Off Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off Center, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.